Manual, Chapter 1, Section 4. Other Marking Techniques. Mark the reference face of all boards. While on the subject of marking, it's very helpful at the beginning of a project to mark a reference face on each piece of the stock. Usually the reference face is the show face, so that all measurements are made from the show face. This means that even when there are slight variations in the thicknesses of workpieces, all offsets, all thicknesses of tenons, positions of mortises, etc., match up exactly, and any variation due to differences in thickness are visible only from the hidden sides of a piece. It's important to remember to mark the face sides at the beginning of a project. Cabinet Maker's Triangle. When using multiple pieces which are to be edge joined, once you establish the order of the pieces, it's very helpful to use a cabinet maker's triangle to mark the pieces. The sighted woodworker would use a pencil, a carpenter's crayon, or chalk to draw a large triangle over all the pieces placed edge to edge in their final position. The blind woodworker accomplishes the same thing with the use of tape to mark the triangle. The uppermost or outside piece of wood will have only the V-shaped point of the triangle on it, while middle pieces of wood will have only parts of the two diverging sides of the triangle, and the bottommost and opposite outside piece of wood will have the ends of the tape sides where they join the base of the triangle. Once the triangle has been taped, a knife should be used to slice apart the tape at the edges of each board. Once the pieces are tape marked with a cabinet maker's triangle, the pieces can be shuffled in any random order, and you will always have a means of reestablishing their original position simply by feeling and reassembling the tape marked triangle. Keeping organized. Of course, with tape being used to mark the face side of each piece, and tape being used to mark the carpenter's triangle, you will need to establish some system to keep your tape marks understandable, so that they don't mislead you later on. You may use a small square piece of tape in a corner of the workpiece to indicate the face side, or you may use any of a variety of available raised dots to indicate this. Tape positioned on other parts of the piece could mean something else. Size of the pieces of tape, configuration of the piece of tape, placement of the tape, etc., all could convey different items of important information. David Elbrickson uses Braille in Speak, a portable note-taker device, to keep track of important information and points to remember. Dean Tuttle has used sticky dots and Dymel tape with Braille notes. Some woodworkers use Braille labels, Braille numerical markings, push tacks, small screws, notches, tap-in very small brads, or drill small reference or registration holes in a waste portion of the workpiece that will be cut off later. Whatever method is used, be sure that it will not show on the finished project, and that it will not get in the way of future woodworking operations. Establish some form of consistency in applying marks or labels. Above all, it's very important to keep all of your wood pieces in an organized fashion while you work. A dedicated parts rack helps with organizing. Other marking tools. There are a number of other basic marking tools available from woodworking stores and catalogs, as well as from hardware stores and home centers. Marking tools from woodworking stores and catalogs tend to be of better quality than the carpentry-type items carried by hardware stores and home centers. Tri-squares. The tri-square is an important specialized woodworker's tool with a machine blade with exactly parallel sides fixed to a handle at precisely 90 degrees. It is used to check the accuracy of 90-degree square corners and for marking lines at right angles to the edge of a board. The thicker handle overlaps the thinner blade to form a fence or stop, so that the handle can rest against an edge of the workpiece while the blade lays flat on the face of the workpiece. Tri-squares come in a variety of styles, from inexpensive plastic-handled squares to handles of rosewood and brass. Machinist squares. Machinist squares are steel and are very useful as tri-squares, particularly because they are available in a variety of sizes and tend to be less expensive. The most common tri-squares have blades about 6 inches long, but the smaller variety of machinist squares, or engineer squares, with a 3-inch or 4-inch blade are extremely handy because they are lighter, easier to use, and fit nicely in a pocket where it's easier to find the tri-square when it's needed. Combination squares. There are adjustable or combination squares consisting of a grooved ruler used as the blade that slides along a tab in a thicker handle with a lock to hold it in position. Bob Kennedy's Braille form combination square is marked on the edge of the ruler portion with raised dots every 1/8 inch. Combination squares have a variety of uses. The primary use is as a large size tri-square. Because the adjustable ruler can be set at any measurement, running a pencil along the end of a ruler or blade in the combination square is a useful way of drawing lines parallel to an edge or end of a board. Simply set the ruler to the desired measurement, lock it in place, and then run the square against the edge while holding a marking tool against the end of the ruler. In similar fashion, the ruler can be set at a measurement and used to set depth of cut on either a table saw blade or router bit. Checking a tri-square for squareness. Tri-squares and machinist squares should be checked periodically for squareness. Rough handling and dropping any square can easily knock it out of square. To test for squareness, take a length of wood with an edge jointed straight. Place the handle of the tri-square or machinist square along the jointed edge and the blade at a right angle on the face of the board. Lightly incise a line along the blade. Now carefully flip the handle over so the handle is pointing in the opposite direction and again position it against the edge. Insert the tip of the knife into the incised line near the edge and slide the blade of the square up against the knife to line up the blade with the incised line. Once positioned exactly, lightly incise a new line along the edge. Be particularly careful when incising the second line and be sure that the knife stays against the blade of the square and isn't captured by the first incised line. If the tri-square is truly square, the second line will run exactly within the first incised line. If the lines diverge, the tool is out of square. The greater the divergence, the more it is out of square. In any event, if out of square, it's time to invest in a new machinist square. Incising lines with a knife. A word is in order about incising lines. The sharp blade of the marking knife will want to follow the grain of the wood, and that grain usually runs anything but straight. To avoid this problem, be sure to lightly incise the line for the first few passes. Subsequent passes can be done with slightly more pressure to deepen the line and to make it more prominent so that it is easily felt. Speed square. A speed square is a rougher, construction-grade tool with uses similar to a tri-square, but it is constructed differently. Speed squares are simply a metal right triangle with two equal legs and a diagonal hypotenuse at 45 degrees. Speed squares come in a variety of sizes. There are slots or detents along the hypotenuse so that accurate angles can be measured. One side of the triangle will have a raised lip that can be used as a fence to butt against the edge or end of a board. The triangular metal configuration of the tool gives it rigidity, so the square is more difficult to knock out of square. Generally, however, the squareness is not machined as precisely as a tri-square or a machinist square. Miter squares. Miter squares have a blade passing all the way through both sides of the handle, so that it registers 45 degrees to the handle on one side and 135 degrees on the other. The miter square is used for measuring or marking inner or outer miters. Sliding bevels. The sliding or adjustable bevel is an extremely useful tool. The sliding or adjustable bevel has a blade that rotates within a handle and can be adjusted to any angle and locked in place either with a thumb screw, wing nut, or lever. The tool is used to transfer an angle from an existing piece to another board or to measure that angle against a protractor. The tool can also be set to a particular angle using a protractor or angle blocks. Measuring stock. At the beginning of a project, when the stock is still rough, the woodworker needs to lay out and measure the individual pieces. Each piece should be measured slightly oversized. When measuring length, allow about an extra inch. When measuring width, allow about an extra half inch. This approach allows leeway for changes to the wood that might come about during the process of milling the wood flat and square. It also permits some adjustment in sizes as the project proceeds. Often, this step of oversizing can be skipped if larger pieces of wood are first milled square. If the wood has been fully milled and has had time to adjust, individual pieces can then be cut to final length and width. Cutting multiple pieces the same size. When cutting multiple pieces to the same dimensions, carefully measure to cut only the first piece. Then use that piece as a template guide to mark and cut subsequent pieces. Better yet, set a stop on the saw so that you can butt up the stock against the stop and cut accurately without measuring or marking. This method is the most reliable way for any woodworker to get accurate results so that each piece exactly matches every other piece. Setting fences and stop blocks. The rotomatic and click rule are often first used to measure a workpiece, but an even better use of those devices is in setting fences and stop blocks. This results in exact repeatability. Variations on how to mark and cut wood will be covered in later chapters dealing with each particular shop machine and function. Miter gauges. Generally, woodworkers find it very difficult to set standard miter gauges on table saws to precise angles. The exception is the INCRA, I-N-C-R-A, the INCRA line of miter gauges. INCRA has several miter gauges available with varying levels of angle settings and price. Detents for angle marks are notched along the outside perimeter of the base, and a pivoting pawl rotates into the notches to to accurately position the gauge. The woodworker can count and feel the notches to determine an angle. Incra miter gauges are expensive, but highly accurate. Summary. When done with care, measuring and marking can be extremely accurate. The blind woodworker has available the necessary tools to accomplish manually exactly what the sighted woodworker can do visually. It takes a bit more time and practice, but every day, blind woodworkers produce extremely accurate measurements. And we don't need to add that accurate measurements are extremely important. Joints and other pieces will fit tightly without gaps only if the measuring was accurate. So spend a lot of time working with your rotomatic or click rule and a set of measuring blocks to develop the necessary skill to measure accurately. You'll be well rewarded for the effort. End of chapter 1, section 4.